The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn, and in the company of Andy Holding, I'm going to look ahead to the Irish action of the day. We've got two really, really strong cards, one at the Curragh and one at Limerick. We're going to look through the whole of the card at the Curragh and selected races at Limerick. You've got Gordon Brown, James Millman, Richie McGrath and Stephen Powell as your bumper studio team for a bumper day of Irish action on William Hill Radio. Which just leaves me to say, good morning, Andy Holding.
Good morning, Alex.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah. It's good stuff today, as you have already touched upon. Yeah, probably one of the most exciting Sundays we've had in Ireland for quite a while. Good flat and good jumps cards to get our teeth into.
Definitely. I mean, on face value, I'll admit, we've just spoken off air, I looked at the Curragh and thought Irish Zarowicz will take the Curragh, but looking at the Limerick card, it's too good to miss completely, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple of good races on that card, particularly the Munster National, which is always competitive and hasn't let us down again.
Certainly. Okay, then, we will kick on with the action because we've got a lot of racing to look at here. We'll kick things off at the Curragh. We'll go through the Curragh card first. The first race comes up at 1:55. It's a maiden over a mile. Looks reasonably open. I mean, we've got Century and Maracouche at the time of recording at the head of the betting, both around the 11-4 mark, but both unraced, and you know, you'd have to be taking a chance that one of them's good enough. What do you like here?
Well, it's a difficult race to have a strong view. It'll be very dogmatic in, isn't it? You know, you're looking at the market signals, which are telling us that the John Ox Colt Maracush is very strongly fancied. And obviously, Aidan O'Brien's charge as well. Colt Balmondo Century's expected to go well. I'd quite like the angle of the John Ox horse, because John's had, as we well know, pretty modest season by his standards, but things are looking a little bit brighter in that particular garden at the moment. He had a nice TI winner down at Navanley the day called Evisani. Tim McCarr won for him for the Aga Khan at Ross Common, beating a good field in a fast time. Of course, my Titania has been the shining light for the Ox camp so far this season, so the green shoots of recovery are definitely there for this stable. And you know, he's a nicely bred individual and the yard seems to be coming right. He's got a good draw right on that far side rail. If he can break and he knows his job alertly enough in the early stages, then hopefully he might be good enough to at least be competitive. Interesting to see how the See the Stars colt goes as well for the same stable. Sees Aria, ridden by Narma McCullough as well. That's also going to be one to keep an eye for the future. The form horse is Bush Pilot, who was fourth in a reasonably good maiden here back in the middle of June. Shining Emerald, the Paul Deegan horse, has done that race a paragood, subsequently winning a couple of races down in Listowel and, of course, at the Curragh next time out. And he didn't get the cleavage to runs on that occasion either, so I think he'll appreciate the step-up in trip and the experience he gleaned on that occasion. So a really educational race for the purists, I think, the first race. Selection-wise, if you gave me a bet at the prices, I'd probably go down the safe each-way option and probably select Bush Pilot as the each-way bet at 9-2, because at least you know what you've got with him.
Okay, so Bush Pilot in the 1:55. The second race on the Curragh card comes up at 2:25. It is a listed race for fillies. That's also over a mile. And the market seems to have it between three here. We've got Chicago Girl, who is still a maiden, but has been running pretty well, to be honest. Dazzling, who won really well on debut and then disappointed. And Flying Jib, who got off the mark last time out. Which of those three do you like?
Oh, Chicago Girl. This is Manapa the Day by an absolute country mile. She's just a really likeable filly. I mean, despite her tendency to swish her tail, which doesn't stop her propelling her forward, she's got easily the best form in this race by a mile. She should have won a couple of starts ago, I thought, down in Killarney. She's nutted by a horse called Adelana, who's quite a useful sort from the John Ox camp, but they were miles clear of the rest. The time in the race is absolutely sensational. So much so that I actually fancied her to run a huge race the next day, even though I tipped my Titania. I suggested that Chicago Girl could well turn out to be the danger in that Group 3 here over the course, and that's very much how it turned out. Now, she was just a bit slowly away. the other day. Now, whether that was that by design by Johnny Murr to Rhoda, I'm not really sure, because in all honesty, I thought she should have won the race. She was dropping back in trip. She was slowly away. And then they kicked at the 2 furlong pole, and she just got tapped for a bit of toe. And, you know, probably third or fourth was the best she could have expected at that particular juncture. But she absolutely rattled home. And in the end, she only got beat half a length. And with another few more strides, she would have definitely beaten My Titanium in a very, very fast time. It's one of the quickest fillies races I've got so far this season. They were well clear of some good horses in third, fourth and fifth. She really does set a very high standard. Now, she's going back up to a mile today, and I think this will really suit her. She's all about stamina. She just keeps going at a relentless gallop and drawn in stall one right on that far side rail. Hopefully, Johnny will bounce this filly out, get her into good rhythm, get her to the front. And if she does, I just cannot see any of these horses being good enough to go by her. So a real strong bet today, Chicago Girl in that 225.
Okay, Chicago Girl, a very strong fancy there. The 255 is the third race on the Curra card. It is a listed race over 6 furlongs. Some interesting types in here. We know about most of them pretty well. We see them run reasonably regularly. Which one do you fancy? I mean, we've got Charles Hill sends it, Angels Will Fall Over. That's potentially interesting. And Cristoforo Colombo won last time out, but I wouldn't think that's going to be any great value today.
It's arguable that. I actually think Cristoforo Colombo on this occasion is not a bad bet. I wouldn't have gone overboard in the night at Dundalk, because as I pointed out when I did that podcast that evening, so I just thought there was others in that race that were more appealing at the prices. And he did really well to win. It was a fast time. He came from last to first in a few bounds, to be honest. I mean, he went by good horses if they were standing still in the lane, and I thought he won with a little bit more in hand than the official margin suggested. The run before was basically a run to blow away the cobwebs when he was eighth in that race, a similar race to this over the course and distance behind Russian Soul. I watched that replay of that race again this morning, and there's no doubt for me he would have beaten Belmont Mast. He was going on stronger at the finish. Now, Belmont Masty's main rival today has been very well back this morning, probably on account of the fact that he always comes good at this time of year. Gary Catewell actually pointed out to me in a text message this morning that Belmont Masty only ever wins in October. His 4 wins have all come in this month, so he's certainly got a point, and I think Belmont Masty will probably strip fitter from that run as well at the Curry of the Day. So it's an interesting matchup between the two. The problem with Belmont Masty is drawn in stall 2, and that could well be the turning point for this race. It's which of these two gets the run from their respective draws. Often the Stansar Rally is the place to be here at the Curra. So with that in mind, I'd slightly prefer Cristoforo Colombo out of the two. One's at bigger prices, a horse you have mentioned there actually in your preamble, and that's Angels Will Fall. Now, I thought she was a little bit, I wouldn't say unlucky last time out at Newmarket, but certainly very eye-catching the way she shaped in that race that was won by Mintz. On ground, that would have been a lot too quick for her. But she came home very, very strongly up the hill once she met the rising ground and let herself down. She's back over to a distance which is more suitable, over a track which will suit her. And, of course, you know, she won that very competitive handicap at the Portland at Doncaster with a little bit of cut in the ground. The ground on the straight track is good to yield in, so she'll be able to let herself down. And at 10-1, I think she appeals each way here in this race. She's got much better drawn than the front two in the market.
OK, then, so Angels Will Fall will be the selection.
Each way, yep.
OK, lovely. OK, then, so Angels Will Fall in the 255. The 330 is an apprentice handicap over a mile. This does look competitive. I mean, we've got Full Manata at the head of the market for Jim Bolger, who, well, looked a bit frustrating, I thought, but got its head in front and did so again, and probably deserves a place at the head of the market.
Yeah, she's in good nick, isn't she? Yeah, the horse that she beat down in Listowel has won since, and you know, she comes in here an absolutely fantastic nick, doesn't she? Whether she can be as effective on quicker ground on a straight track, because obviously she liked that turning hustle and bustle effect when she won at Listowel a couple of times, is obviously open to debate. I do think there's a couple in this race which are very much eye-catching, and one of them's already been well punted this morning. I was sniffing around for big prices about Corbus, so I managed to get a bit of 16-20-1 about this animal. Now, most punters probably won't know this horse at all, but I just think they've been very canny with it this season, basically running over its one trip. Its first race in its life, it won over 7 furlongs at Gowan. Now, that would suggest that it probably would at least need 7 furlongs, or if a little bit further, maybe a mile in future. Now, they run it first time up this season, over 6 furlongs here at this track. It was always going to be outpaced, and was, never really knocked about. But then really caught my eye down in Roscommon the other day in a competitive handicap won by Captain Cullen. Once again, given a very circumspect ride, right out the back of the field, never really looked as though he was going to get involved. And all of a sudden, that last couple of furlongs, noticed horse doing some very good late work under a very minimal ride by Shami Heffernan, who basically nursed his horse home in the last couple of furlongs, but went through the line very, very strongly. And I put a big circle around his horse as a horse. When he gets a mile, he's one that I definitely want to be with. Now, it comes back to the Curragh, a track where he's run well twice in his career over shorter trips. Back over, I think, now going to be his optimum distance. He's got a good draw on that far side rail. Luke Dempsey's been booked. I do think the double-figure odds for this horse this morning were way over the mark. And I expect this horse to run a massive race. And the other one is Iron Major, who comes here in great nick, having won an apprentice handicap in the hands of Ray Dawson, who rides again today, last time out. Now, he posted the second fastest furlong per furlong time on that card. Now, that was a very good card because there was Group 3 races, Group 2, and a Group 1 race on that card as well. So for him to post that kind of number, for a 76-rated handicapper, suggests that he's much better than his rating at the moment. He actually ran the last four furlongs quicker than Moore and Graw by a second. That equates to around about five lengths, who won the Irish Cambridge on that occasion. So I do think Iron Major shouldn't be overlooked here. So my two against the field, Iron Major ran about the 8-1 mark, but you've got to have a few quid on this Corbus, who I think has been shrewdly campaigned, let's say, by Richard Brabazon.
OK, then. The 4:05 is the next race. It's a listed race over a mile and a half. Aidan O'Brien comes here with three runners. Not at the head of the market, though. Hikari heads the market as we speak for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. Do you think this one can go back to Aidan O'Brien?
Yeah, it's a good chance that it will. Heirloom's certainly been a model of consistency throughout the season, and he ran a respectable race down in Tipperary last time out behind a horse that contests the Irish Cesarewitch later on called Time for Action. So if you fancy Time for Action, you'll be looking for Heirloom to run well. All he does is stay very strongly, Heirloom. He hasn't got a change of pace, but he does keep going. So, you know, he's got to be there or thereabouts, you'd imagine. Hikari's an interesting runner. Of course, he's owned by Brian Gleeson of TV fame over in Ireland, and I think she's going to make a lovely juvenile hurdle. I think that's very much what they expect with her. Zan could easily bounce back after a couple of pipe openers in the latter part of the season. Obviously, with the Ox horses running a little bit better than a more positive run is expected of that, Carl Bizer-Mindo. But I'm going to give another go to Drifting Mist here. Now, this is a horse that I've got a little bit of a soft spot for. You can almost say I'm potentially going down the old cliff-following route with her, but I'm going to give her another go because the race the other day that she was involved in at the Curragh over 2 miles really didn't go her way, and it wasn't run to suit. They went in no gallop at all. The speed figure of that race was very slow, indicating that they'd crawled and then they'd quickened basically from about four out. Now, this horse stays really well. She would have wanted a more stronger run race than she got. And the time before, I thought it was her best run of the season beyond a Levanto when they went a lot more an even gallop. And a repeat of that kind of form behind a horse who loves the track so well would certainly put her in the mix here today, Drifting Mist, but it's all about the pace. I'm hoping that Jazz Girl at least will, and Cyclone, who are two front runners, will generate a stronger gallop this afternoon. If they do, it'll definitely bring Drifting Mist stamina into play. And she's around about 8-10-1 this morning, so I'm going to give her a go because I do think she's worth another chance.
OK, then. The 4:40 is the next race that we'll look at. It's the feature contest on the card. It's the Irish Cesarewitch, a premier handicap over 2 miles. A fascinating contest, Andy. Where should we start with this one?
Yeah, lots of horses you can mention here. I'll be here all day, really, giving them the rundown. So I'll just try and keep it brief. My main selection here is Weather Watch, a horse who I've had on my mind for quite a while, actually. I think he might be a lovely juvenile hurdler. Whether that's going to be the case, I'm not too sure. But Jessica Harrington, of course, a dual-purpose trainer, has done really well with this horse throughout the campaign, winning a couple of races at Tipperary and Leopardstown. I actually don't think Leopardstown, bizarrely, is this horse's trap, because the one thing this horse does is stay very well and needs a long, long time to get into top gear. And on his last two runs, well, everything that could gone wrong has gone wrong. He's got a slowly run race. He's been at the back of the field in big fields, and they've kicked off the home turn. Now, there's only a short straight, as we know, at Leopardstown, around about 2 furlongs. And it hasn't given this horse enough time to get into his stride. Now, last time out was very much that case. I think he had one behind him with three to run off the home bend, and he was all at sea. But he's absolutely flashed down the outside to be a never nearer fourth, indicating that he would have won if he would have been well better positioned, or he had enough room to catch the front runners. Hopefully today, in this bigger field, stronger pace generated, and with a more positive ride by Conor King, he can certainly be marked up as a horse who you'd expect to be involved in the finish. So he's my number one choice. And the other one at a price as well, right down the foot of the weight, it's also called Celestial Prospect, who takes a significant step up in class. But I do think this horse is in such good form at the moment that he might be able to take advantage of that. He won very easily the day in the hands of Ruby Walsh in a competitive handicap hurdle down in Navan. And prior to that, he'd won a couple of nice races in the provincial tracks at Wexford in easy style. So I just think he comes in with his confidence very, very high. And now he's 25-1 this morning. I just thought, that's worth a few quid, because I do think he's got more upside than a few of these in the race. But it's very, as you can see, it's nearly 10-1 the field. It's hugely competitive. I like Weather Watch, and Celestial Prospect will make my two against the field.
OK, then. Your picks for the Irish Cesarewitch at 4:40. Certainly an interesting race in prospect there. The 5:10 is the last race on the Curragh card on Sunday. It is a maiden over a mile and one furlong, and Jim Bolger heads the market with New Regalia. I've got to say, Andy, she's thoroughly exposed, but has she been unluckier, or is she genuinely hard to win with?
I hate this race, I've got to be honest. I think this is as bad a weaker maiden as I've ever seen at the Curragh. It's a shocker, really. Past issues, I mean, giving up with that horse, almost giving up with New Regalia, and it's definitely last chance saloon. I think the doors are definitely squeaking on this one in the last chance saloon. I'm just unimpeled about the price, really. 11-4 for horses, had 10 goes and yet to get its head in front. Wouldn't surprise me if Hawaiian Heat was good enough to win here first time up. A lot of horses have got very checkered profiles, like Voice of a Curler and Diamond Day. So I'm only really left with one that I thought might have a little bit of upside attached to it, and that's a filly or mare trained by Christy Rhodes called Sea Rocket, who has been in really good form throughout the summer jumping campaign, so much so that she managed to get within five lengths of the arguably the best filly that we've seen throughout the summer jumping campaign, a horse called Kalin Amen from the Jessica Harrington stable. Now, she ran second to that horse down in Kilbeggan the last time that she saw a hurdle. She went to Tipperary the other day in the hands of today's pilot, Gerard Brewer, and ran actually quite well, or certainly better than the form or the finishing position indicated. And hopefully today might be a little bit more competitive. Like I say, it's just one of those races where I thought, what am I left with here? And she's one of the only few that has at least caught my eye, and I think there's more to come. So on that basis, I'll go with her each way, but it's an absolute shocker, that last.
OK, then. I'll tell you what, can you just sum up your Curragh thoughts now, and then we'll move on to Limerick.
OK, so let's have a look back at the Curragh and go through top to tail what we fancy here. First race, toughie, because there's a lot of unraced fodder in this race that could be up to a very, very high standard, which I don't know about. So I'll just stick with Bush Pilot each way, because at least I've got some form to go with him. Second race, Nap of the Day, look no further than Chicago Girl. I think she's a really good bet in that listed fillies. 2:55, tricky old race. Out of the two that have run here on the straight track this season, I think Christopher Columbo might just come out on top of his old foe, Belmont Mast. But either way, I do think Angels Will Fall is overpriced at 10-1, and she's worth a bet each way. 3:30, Iron Major is in great nick. Have to go with him, along with the very, very eye-catching Corbus. Keep your eye on that fella lurking around there in that very competitive handicap. 4:05, nasty race this, but I'll give another go to Drifting Mist each way. I think she's capable of more if they go a good gallop. The Cesarewitch is probably one of the hardest races I've seen in Ireland for many, many weeks and months. Weather Watch is a horse, I think, if he gets the strongly run race he requires, might be competitive at the end. And Celestial Prospect, looking down the weights, might outrun his odds. Final race, well, if you're really going to have a bet, then maybe just go with Sea Rocket each way, but I should keep your stakes low there.
OK, then. Right, we'll move on to Limerick. Just before, we're going to focus on three races, Andy, but just before we do, Is there something wrong with the ground or something at Limerick? Because I'm just looking, and a lot of Gigginstown horses are out. We've got Bayan is out of the 205, Band of Blood, Thunder and Roses, and Easter Hunt, three horses out of the 235, and Tofino Bay is out of the 420. Do you know anything about that?
I'd say the ground is going to be too quick. They're put good and watered, but they've had such a dry period over there in Limerick in the last few weeks that a lot of trainers at this time of year are not going to risk their horses, particularly the likes of Band of Blood, Thunder and Rose, proper soft ground winter horses, and they were probably hoping that they might get a shower or two of rain. That hasn't materialised, and it's a long old season ahead of them, and they don't want to be knackering them up, in the middle of October.
Makes sense, I suppose. OK, then, we'll move on to the... it's the second race on the Limerick card. The first one that we're going to look at is the 2.35. It is a novice hurdle, a Grade 3 contest over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. As I mentioned, we do go without Band of Blood, Thunder and Roses and Easter Hunt. They do not go, so we lose the sort of each-way aspect into the race. But nevertheless, some nice horses left. I know that you were very keen on lots of memories last time out, but Indervan, Silver Tassie and Tropical 3 are certainly very good horses, and this looks a good race.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Certainly respect Indervan, but I don't know what he's doing at 5-4. If you think that's a 5-4 chance, I think you need to go and see a betting psychiatrist. It looks, for me, between Lots of Memories and Silver Tassie, these are the best two horses in this race. That form represented at Listowel is easily, by half an hour, the best form on offer here. I'd expect the winner to come from one of these two. On the count of the ground today, I might just slightly favour Silver Tassie out of the two. I've got a massive respect and amount of belief in Lots of Memories that he's a very good horse. He should have won by further at Listowel the other day. I know he only won by a net, but he absolutely rooted the last when he got the race in his pocket, and it enabled Silver Tassie just to have a last ditch nibble at him, and Lots of Memories still saw him off despite almost throwing the race away. But the ground is definitely much in favour of Silver Tassie today, and it might just be enough to enable him, A, to get closer, and B, maybe to turn the form around. And the prices, I think 4-1 Silver Tassie does make a little bit of appeal today, because he's subsequently gone on to win once again on ground than he wouldn't really want down in Clonmel, when his class very much shone through. I think Silver Tassie is a much easier moving, freer galloping horse on this kind of ground, which is going to be quick here today. So it's just a pure price play. I think Silver Tassie is definitely the value at 4-1.
Okay, Silver Tassie there in Limerick's 2.35. The 4.20 is the next race that we're going to look at. It is a Grade 3 chase over 2.5 miles. As I mentioned, Tofino Bay is out, and that almost ruins the race from a betting perspective. We've got Beneficent in at 5-1 on at the head of affairs. Obviously, a very nice win in the Deuce, and a very good horse. Had a nice pipe opener on the flat, and surely, you know, you'd have expected that he'd win this anyway. But could you be taking 5-1 on in a Grade 3 chase, Andy?
Well, I wouldn't take 5-1 on about tomorrow being Monday, let alone in a horse race. I mean, it's just not for me. For those that want to have £5,000 to win £1,000, then fair play. That those are the kind of people that benefit from situations like this. I mean, barring accidents, the famous last words, and he should win this pretty much without coming off the bridle, really. I mean, Far Away So Close has been not quite as good as he was a couple of years ago, albeit, you know, he's been running in decent races. Rockshandy is very much a 0-120 handicapper, and New Phases looks as though he's totally gone at the game. So this has been basically handed to him on a plate, Beneficent, and you know, this is not just a penalty kick, it's a German penalty kick.
They don't miss them, do they?
No, never miss.
And would you take Far Away So Close to follow him home if you're going to go for the forecast?
Well, it's the only logical choice, isn't it? Yeah, it's just an unappealing betting heat. It's a shame Tofino Bay's not in there, but as we said, the ground's going to be too quick for a lot of those horses that want deep winter ground, and it's a long old season ahead, but old Beneficent, he run on anything. In fact, the better the ground, the better his chance, because when he won at Cheltenham, the ground was obviously on the quick side.
Mm. OK, then. So can't look past Beneficent in the 4.20, but no great price. We will be able to find a good price, though, in the final race that we're going to look at today. It is the 4.50 at Limerick, and it's the Munster National Handicap Chase, a Grade A contest over 3 miles. A lot of horses here that continually turn out against each other. But that doesn't make it any easier to find the winner, does it, Andy?
Well, in theory, I should be half decent at finding the winner of these races, because I get to see them run week in, week out, year in, year out, and yet I find them the most toughest kind of disciplines to get involved in, these 3 mile handicap chases. It's all about rhythm and, you know, getting into a good track position, and particularly Limerick, where the fences come up quite quickly down the back, you have to have something that's almost meeting everything in the perfect stride all the way through. And that's my only slight worry about Spring Heel, because he jumped as if he got clogs on the other day at Listowel, and I fancied him. I thought he was a good thing to win that day, and he just never picked his feet to be made. One bad mistake early on, very sloppy, and he just dragged his hind legs through one after the other after the other, and in the end, it was just a tale of woe. I mean, how he finished third, God only knows. I do like this horse, but it's unfortunately, I think, it's been cigaled in the sense that this horse was looking around about a 9-10-1 chance in the morning, and now, because Seagal's gone for it, we're looking at 5-1. So I do think the value has been sucked out of this horse, albeit I'm reluctant to go against him because I do like him. It wouldn't surprise me if he went and won. I've just got a terrible record with anything Seagal fancies, and I fancy at the same time. For instance, Tiger Cliff. I backed Tiger Cliff anti-post, and then Seagal put it up, and then it ran like a drain. So I'm very much aware of that kind of scenario developing again. So I'm probably going to look for something at a bit much bigger price to get involved with here. I do think we should certainly have half a look at a horse called Fisher Bridge. He's likely to get into this race because there's bound to be a non-runner today. And if he does get in as a reserve, I think he's going to run a big race here because he's definitely been knocking at the door. He's in good form the other day on the flat. So he's definitely one to have a little bit of a look at. And I do think Old Muirhead can go well again. He does love this track. He's won here before. He's just the kind of horse that will always run well in these races. He's a deep closer, a strong traveller. And he's run the other day, obviously, Lestole in the Kerry National was the pick of the form, really, to be honest. You know, he had several of these behind him on that occasion. And the ground very much won't inconvenience his chances either, Muirhead. In fact, the faster the ground, the better. He doesn't often get really decent jumping ground to run on Muirhead, but he's always been at his best when his hooves are rattling. So at 8-1, each way, I think Muirhead, along with his stabber companion, Fisher Bridge, if he does get in, are the two I'd probably go on here. So the two Noel Mead horses make the most appeal at the prices.
Okay, very interesting. Could you just sum up your three picks in those three races at Limerick, please, Andy?
Yeah, Silver Tassie might get the better of his old foe, lots of memories, but either way, I expect the winner to come from one of those two in that 2.35. Just can't understand why in the van's favourite. Beneficent, well, looks barring accidents, he's for the taking in that grade three. And then the Munster National, reluctantly, I'm going to go against Spring Heeled, so that's a one-way ticket for you to pile into that horse and let him win. The two Noel Mead horses are two to concentrate on there. One, Fisher Bridge, if he gets into the race. But if he doesn't, then Muirhead should represent the Mead camp quite admirably.
OK, brilliant. Thanks very much for your time, Andy. Thank you for pouring through all of those horses. I know there's a lot of them. Good luck with the selections, and we'll talk soon.
OK, cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.